Several years ago, I got invited to go to Montana to preach to a meeting. And some of you have been to that meeting, and it is something else. That's all I know to tell you. And I was the new guy, and I was nervous. I'm always nervous. Brother Andrew, good to have Brother Andrew Decker, a good friend of mine, here on the front row. And he asked me a while ago, was I nervous? He says, "This make you nervous?" I said, "Yeah, I'm about to throw up." I mean, it's a big deal. It ought to make you nervous every time you have an opportunity to stand, because it's eternal every time. And but certain situations make you more nervous. And preaching at the end of this week and in this pulpit, with all the preaching that comes from this pulpit, and then this week all the preaching that's been done from this pulpit, it's a daunting task. But I do praise the Lord that He is able, and I'm excited for the opportunity. And I was asked to go to that Montana meeting, and I, you know, you're always nervous. It's a brand new place. You know how it's going to go. And the preacher said, "You're going to land at an airport. It's about 2 hours away from the church." He said, "But there's another preacher and his wife, and they're going to land right about the same time. You can just ride with them." And you know, that's a blessing. It's saving some money and everything. But then I'm thinking, oh my goodness, 2 hours with strangers. And I was talking about myself. I'm the stranger. I'm like, I got to try to act like I got sense for 2 hours. And then I'm just gonna have to turn it loose when I get to the hotel room and just you know. And the preacher and his wife was Brother Sal and his wife. And those of you from this church know that, if anything, they are extremely gracious. And they took me in like a little special child and took care of me. And really coached me and helped me. It was a blessing. And that kind of knit our hearts together. And then I got the privilege of sitting near him at the meals. And I just like sitting near your preacher and hearing him talk. He knows a lot about everything. Now, we don't want to puff him up or anything, but he knows a lot about everything. And I don't know a lot. I don't even have to say about at the end of that. I just say, I don't know a lot. And normally I can't. What's amazing about that, thank you for the shore, what's amazing is I still can't stop talking. It's bad when somebody won't shut up. It's real bad when they don't know anything and they won't shut up. But the Lord has helped me out there, and I've been able to sit and listen to Him and different ones talk. And man, they start talking about all kind of things. And I just got to enjoying His friendship. And I appreciate Brother Sal, and I appreciate certainly the privilege for letting me be here in this meeting. And I want to thank the church for everything you've done. It's been wonderful. The graciousness, one of the verses we like to cling to at our place is serve the Lord with gladness. And you know, there are some people that serve the Lord, but it doesn't look like they like it. You know, we don't want to be that way at our church, and you're not that way here. I appreciate the smiles on all of the servants' faces, and I thank the Lord for that. And you know, it's funny, Brother Andrew asks me sometimes, he's grown up coming to our camp, and he's known me a long time, and he'll ask me stuff about preaching at that church and stuff that, you know, is a big deal to us. And I always tell him it's just unbelievable that I get to do it. And Brother Joel said it the other day, we just can't hardly believe that we're doing this. But the Lord knows how to keep you humble. I don't know if y'all know that. But the Lord has ways. And I don't remember if it was before I was here last time. Had I already fallen down the steps before I was here last time? Does anybody know that story? Y'all know the story because you've seen the video. So it was. But I fell down our stairs. We got about 5 stairs. And we had had a snow day. Now you'll think this is funny because y'all deal with real snow. We don't deal with real snow. So if it snows a little, they don't come to church. Okay. And so we'd had a snow day, and that Sunday night, not a lot of people came back. And so we just moved them all into 2 sections, and we put the podium down on the floor, and we were just going to have a little more intimate setting over there. So while the song leader was leading the singing, I was standing on those stairs. Now, in my mind, I thought I was standing on the first step from the floor, first step. But I was actually standing on the second step. Well, then, and y'all, how many of y'all have heard me talk about the little crazy voice I have in my head? Y'all heard me say that this week? Did I introduce you to him last time I was here? Anybody know his name? He's got a name. Yeah, it's amazing. I used to joke through the years about voices in my head, and I'm not sure it's a joke, to be honest with you. I'm wound tight, man, I tell you. I'm easily distracted. They got all kind of names for it now. Attention deficit, ADHD, didn't have all that when I was growing up. They just said he was a hyper kid, and they just hit you a lot. They just hit you a lot. Calm down. And, you know, it didn't hurt me, I don't think. As far as I know, praise God. And so, I mean, I remember preaching one time, and we have decorations for the fall with all these cornucopias and little, you know, hay and all this other stuff. And then they got little figurines, little squirrels, little rabbits sitting around. And I was preaching one time, and I was already all the way in. And I'm walking back and forth and preaching like this. And somebody, probably one of the children just playing around, had turned the little rabbit around. And he wasn't facing the crowd no more, and he was facing me. And while I was trying to preach, that thing kept looking at me, boy. And I tell you, I mean, it's like squirrel, you know, like that. I had to stop right in the middle. I said, I got to stop. And I turned that guy around. It's like his little eyes was following me. I couldn't preach. I come back that night and he was sitting on the pulpit. A couple of weeks later, he was sitting on my truck dash. So my church kind of helps my crazy. Okay, they help. And so I would joke about it, how easily distracted I am. I'd say, it's like I got a voice in my head. One day I was driving home with my son. This is a true story. This is not a preacher story, Sister Liz, wherever you're at. This is a true story. And don't be flagging this one. And my boy said, Daddy, he's out of the blue. He said, Daddy, you ever thought about naming them voices in your head? I kind of looked over like, oh, that's a joke, sort of, son. I said, no. I said, what you got in mind, buddy? And for some reason, he decided that there were six. And he said, Tony 1, Tony 2, Tony 3. And he went all the way to 5. Tony 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And Sebastian. That's what he said. I said, son, who is Sebastian? He said, that's that crazy one, Dad. That's that crazy voice. So Sebastian gets wound up every now and then. When he's preaching, it's on. I'll just tell you that. But our church now, it's a thing. If I get wound up about something crazy, they'll say, Sebastian took over, didn't he? I'll say, yeah, I'm sorry. And I'm going to be honest with you, during that congregational song a while ago that I'd never heard, that awakening chorus, he was loving that. Now, me and him, neither one knew any of the parts, and I could not sing in that song. But it had so much stuff going on, Sebastian was just bouncing in my head. He was like, learn this song. I'm like, I can't. And I ain't going to mess them up because it sounds really good. It was awesome. I was kind of hoping you was going to mess it up like you did the other night. Remember the other night? Brother Matt, he blew it the other night. My first night here, it was God. It was divine appointment. If he'd have done it while I wasn't here, it wouldn't have helped me. But it helped me because I was here. And women, y'all sing now. And what if he'd have done it in that awakening song? You talk about a disaster. But he didn't, and it was awesome. And I'm wound up. I just want you to know that. And so I'm trying to stall long enough that Brother Sal will say, that's good enough. Amen. Let's go. Every head bowed, every eye closed. And amen. We'll go to the altar. We'll go home. Acts chapter 2. We're going to stay in the book of Acts. I have changed messages so many times, I don't even know what I'm preaching. I've been trying to find the will of God. As I said, you've preached so much. So many things. And you talk about some depth too. And let me just say something to you. And I know the local folks, you have to work and you can't take off for everything. And I understand that. But man, these morning services have been a blessing. And they've been good. The preachers have been doing some great preaching. And so there's been a lot of depth to the preaching this week. And you know, I came in not knowing that Brother Joel had preached on bitterness. I think he said like the first message. Then I came in Wednesday night not knowing that and preached a pretty heavy message there about when daddy messes up and goes crazy and talked a lot about bitterness and that. And then there was bitterness the next day. And so it's been some heavy stuff, been some deep stuff. And we praise the Lord for it. I appreciate this right here. You know, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And we've certainly seen that. And just so you know, I know too, he said, can you overdose on preaching? And I don't know, but you can get close. And we're close right now. I figured it out. I think y'all have heard, if you count last Sunday, you've heard at least this will be 21 messages since Sunday. And so you are not going to remember what I say tonight. I fell down those stairs that day, by the way. I never did even finish that story. I got so distracted. Sebastian took over. He was in there saying, are you ever going to tell him about me? So I had to tell you about him. I saw a guy on the front row that pastors a little church in town, but they didn't have Sunday night because of the snow. So while the song leader's leading the singing, I stand amazed in his presence. I thought, oh, I'm going to go speak to him. I hadn't seen him in a while. He's a pastor out of our church. And I stepped off that step. Now I thought I was on the floor. So I took the next step like I was on the floor, and there wasn't no floor. And so I bounced. My leg was straight. And I had a songbook in my hand, and there's a picture where you can see my leg completely straight up, and the songbook is above my foot, where I threw the songbook. Whoa! Now, I got up, grabbed the songbook, stood up, shouted on the front pew. Praise God. If you watch the video, my daughter's sitting on the fourth row with a red jacket on, and she just puts her head in her book like, oh, Daddy. Oh, Daddy. I got a call from a lady who used to go to our church years ago. And I went ahead and started the clock. So y'all know I started the clock, preacher. Okay. And I got a call from a lady, and I saw her number. She used to go to our church, hadn't been in our church in years. I hadn't heard from her in years. And I saw it, and I thought, she's up in age. Her husband's up in age. And when I saw her name, I thought, well, one of them's sick or something. And I answered the phone, and I said, hey, sister, how you doing? And she said, I'm just calling to see if you're all right. She had seen the video about me falling. Well, know if I was all right. I just hung up on her. I don't want to talk to you. Praise God. Had a preacher call and say, man, I want you to know I'm in the Philippines. He said, and I've got, he texted me, I think. He said, I'm in the Philippines, and I had about 50 Filipino pastors around me watching that video. Boy, you have helped us. We pray. Brother Matt, my sister pastor, said, Brother Tony, we pray all the time that God will expand our influence. We just didn't know that's how he's going to do it. The kicker, Brother Jonathan, I was in almost Canada preaching a youth meeting for Samson Ryman. And there's this, you know how you just try and speak to the young people? And there was a boy sitting there kind of by himself, and I walked by. I thought I'd speak to him. And I said, hey, how you doing, buddy? He said, all fine. And he had on a New York Yankees shirt. So I'm just trying to make conversation. I said, son, are you a Yankees fan, or is that just a nice shirt? And he looked down. He goes, oh, it's just a nice shirt. He said, I'm a Toronto fan. I said, oh, really? He said, yeah, I'm from Toronto. I said, oh, Canada. He said, yeah. And then he said this. He said, are you Tony Shirley? Are you Brother Shirley? Well, let's be honest. I thought, Canada. That's a far cry for a little Kentucky boy. As a matter of fact, I am. He said, you the one that fell down the steps in that video? God was going, yeah, yeah. How's that going? I just walked off. Wasn't being kind to that punk anymore, praise God. It's unbelievable. So it happened again this week. Not about the fall, something brand new. Sitting in the hotel, waiting on my ride, Brother Joel, which I've done all week long, waiting on my ride, praise the Lord. Sitting there, and these teenage boys, some of them came in, you know, they had on their shirts and ties, we was getting ready for church, and they start walking up, hey, preacher, how you doing, preacher, and all that. And I'm saying, fine, how are y'all? Boy, it's been good, hadn't it? Yeah. And then Josh, where's he at? Right there, Josh. Y'all point at him, because he don't want to raise his hand. All y'all point at him, right there. Josh, he starts talking to me, and he's fired up. He's a little bit like Sebastian, I'll be honest with you. He's a little wound up. And he's like, hey. He's like, yeah. And he's talking a little bit. And he looks right at me. Now, listen, this was, let's see, I got here Wednesday. This was Thursday morning. I had just preached Thursday morning. The last message Thursday morning. So like 2 hours before this. He goes, hey, how you doing? You been here? I said, yeah. He goes, are you preaching this week? I said, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to preach. Oh, okay. I said, I just preached this morning. Oh, what'd you preach about? I said, magnify the Lord. Huh. One of the buddies said, that's Brother Shirley. He goes, oh, Brother Tony Shirley, you're my favorite preacher. I said, all I can figure is, if you don't listen to any of them, you can just pick anybody to be your favorite. Josh. Hey, so Josh, I'm about to preach, or try to. And if you fall asleep, son, it's going to get on over there. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Let's get rolling. Let's see how much I wasted there. 6 minutes and 10 seconds. 11 seconds. Here we go. The Bible said here in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for the privilege to be in this good place. And as Brother Joel said, we come hoping to minister to and be a blessing to. And in turn, Lord, we have been helped so much. This meeting has just spoken to me in so many ways. I've got things written down, Lord, and stuck in the back of my Bible and stuff I want to say to my staff and things I want to do different in my life. And Lord, I appreciate that. I'm thankful, Lord, that you can come to a place where it's just so gracious and the Spirit's so good. And Lord, you can tell the people have worked so hard. Thank you for the choir and for the musicians and Lord, all the different things that have been done. Thank you, Lord, for the visitors and the Spirit that they have brought to the meeting. And I pray now that you'd help us to finish, Lord, as you would see fit. As the preacher just preached, Lord, we want what you want. And Lord, I've tried to seek your mind on this, and I believe I have settled on it here. So I pray that you would bless it. Fill me with the Spirit. Remove all that is flesh and carnal and get me out of the way. And Lord, help the listeners to be filled as well. We'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said. Amen. One of the reasons we have a Bible conference now, where my church is, you can't really use the word conference. If you say conference, nobody's coming. It's got to be camp meeting or revival or rally. They think conference is, you know, dead. That's just how they are. They're near the mountains. But we have camp meeting. We have youth rally in April. We have missions conference. Now, you really want people not to come. Put conference on it and missions in front of it. So they think dead money. It's really hard to get them to come to that, praise God. But one of the reasons we have Bible conference, one of the reasons we have camp meeting, youth rally, our church got camp coming up. And one of the reasons that we have those things that we might bring you in here and we have hopes that the Lord will get you fixed up and whatever's wrong when you came in, you can get help with it and that you'll get fired up and excited and then get filled up with the Holy Ghost. And then the desire is that after meetings like this, you get turned loose on the world. That's the desire. Not that we just come in here and say, man, didn't we have a good time? But that once this is over, we go back to other places and all you pastors and staff are going back to your own battlefields. And what we desire and what the preacher desires, I know, I think I could speak for him from our own experience, is that we hope that you leave here and it goes better for you where you are than it was before because God helped you in this place. And that's exactly what's happening here in the book of Acts here in chapter 2, is they've gotten filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit has come in a powerful way in their service, much like he has in our services. And the lost were saved, and a small army was set on fire for the cause of Christ. And they left this meeting. The Bible says they turned the world upside down. One Bible teacher says that by the end of the first century, there were over 1 million Christians. And that means when you think about it, that within 70 or 80 years, the crowd that got stirred up and filled up in this meeting here through person-to-person witnessing. We're not talking about, they didn't have the television broadcast that we can do. They didn't have the radio broadcast that we can do. They didn't have the cars where they could travel in planes and fly like we do to get the different meetings. No, we're talking about the face-to-face, house-to-house, town-to-town. And you think about this crowd, they say, reached 1 million people in 70 or 80 years. That's almost unbelievable in our mind. You say, what happened? Man, they got out of this meeting what God wanted them to get. They got stirred up and they got filled up, and then it made a difference as they left. And that's what I like to hear as I go to meetings and get to participate. I like to get back home and start getting texts, and Brother Joel start getting calls from the pastor where he'll say, preacher, I just want to let you know, man, those young people, more of them came to soul winning than they've ever done it before. And man, they're bringing their friends. And boy, I just like to hear, hey, preacher, you ain't going to believe it, but old so-and-so that got right in that meeting, they just brought their cousin got saved. Man, it's good. Thank you. I like to hear that after the meeting ends, and Brother Rogers, I'm sure the same way. We love those reports. We love it while we're there, but man, it gets really exciting when it's over, but it's not over. And we start getting reports, and that's what Brother Sal hopes to hear from some of us. He hopes for some of us to call him. He probably don't want us all to call him. I think he wants all of us to call him on Monday. He would like to hear, he would like word to get back and start hearing that this thing has gone back to our churches. Brother Andrew brings his church to our camp, and they'll stay, and then they'll go back home on Saturday. Man, we love to hear the churches. They go back from teen camp, and they'll let a lot of them will let their teens have that Sunday night service to testify and sing and share what happened at camp. Well, we love to start getting reports back saying, preacher, man, God showed up. The young people came back so stirred and so fired up, and boy, somebody got saved, and another one got this and that, and that's what we like to hear, and we hope that that happens. That's the desired result from this meeting that we're looking forward to. But I want to make sure as we leave and get ready to go back to our different places that we understand what it is that really will make a difference. And I talked to you about depth. There's been a lot of depth. Well, we'll swim in the shallow end of the pool here at the end, okay? When I'm preaching, it's always the kiddie side of the pool. But it'll be all right. Because there's something I don't want you to forget, that in the midst of everything that we can learn, and I know this wasn't necessarily a how-to meeting, but I mean, I've been paying attention to some how-tos, and every trip back to the hotel, me and Brother Joey, he's talking about, man, I saw this, and man, did you see that, and you see how they do this, and us other pastors that are here, we're paying attention, and we're hoping to go back and put some things in place, and boy, the preaching this morning, I wrote some things down about me personally, and about how to study, and brother, I was really moved by the message out of the Song of Solomon. And I thought about my love for my wife, and I thought about if I love the Lord like I'm supposed to, man, I would study more, not just read and not just do my reading and my praying, but I would study more. I'd want to know more about Him, and I just want to find out all I could. Man, I was convicted by that, and I hope to go back and put that into practice. But you understand, all that stuff is good, but we just got to make sure that we don't miss the main thing. You say, the main thing is what? The main thing is that what makes a difference is the name of Jesus. That's what makes a difference. In this chapter here, in this book, it is the name of Jesus that turns the world upside down. Look at verse 37. It says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. In the next chapter, Peter and John meet a lame man lying by the gate. The Bible says in verse 6 of that chapter, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And that old boy got healed because there is power in the name of Jesus. Hey, in chapter 4, they're being questioned about this miracle. And Peter says, be it known unto you all. He said, and to all people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, in other words, he said, look, we didn't do anything. We can't do anything. But there is power. And the power, he said, is by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by Him doth this man stand here before you whole. Now we understand something. The world hates the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, it's become okay in the world right now to be spiritual. It's become okay to have faith. Have you noticed that? It's all right to talk about your faith. You'll see athletes, a lot of them will talk about their faith, and coaches. You'll see sometimes even some of that Hollywood crowd and the political crowd. Well, they don't mind a bit to talk about their faith. And they don't even mind, to be honest with you, now to say God. They'll say God. God bless us. And, you know, God bless you. And we thank God. And you'll hear ball players sometimes. They'll say, well, you know, and I don't believe you should say it like this. They'll say, thank the man above. That don't make anybody nervous when they say that. Or they'll say, I want to thank God. And doesn't seem to make those interviewers, doesn't seem to make them nervous at all. And they say, I want to thank God. He's the one who made all this possible. But you watch when one of them takes that next step. You watch how nervous the interviewer gets when that one don't say, I want to thank God, or I'm glad I have my... Sometimes they'll ask a coach or a ball player that's gone through some tragedy, and they'll start interviewing about how you persevere. And many times they'll say, my faith. Well, my faith. I depended on my faith and my family. And they like it. It's almost like that warms them. They like that. But you wait till one of them starts saying, hey, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, when they say that, everything changes. Those guys with the microphones get real nervous when they start saying, hey, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Or when they say, my faith in Jesus Christ. When they start saying Jesus, and by the way, that narrows it way down. Because little g God could be anything, but Jesus is one thing. Amen. And you can have faith in anything. Hey, listen, and you can be spiritual, but it changes it all when you start calling the name, which is above every name, we heard last night. And that is the name of Jesus. And the world hates the name of Jesus. When you start doing that, you know, that's why you hear about every year, near the end of the school year or during football seasons, you hear controversies all around the country about prayer. And they say it's okay to pray, but don't you pray, what do they say? In the name of Jesus. All right, you can open up this political event. We're going to have prayer at the beginning, but if you don't care, then don't pray in the name of Jesus. Or you can pray at this ball game or whatever, but hey, but you can't pray in the name of Jesus. You know why that is? Because listen, not only this world hates that name, but the devil hates that name. The devil don't care if you're spiritual, and he don't care if you've got faith, but he gets tore up when it's put in Jesus. Because that's where the power is, in the name of Jesus. I was in secular college years ago, and I had I took a mythology class. Now, you have to take all these different classes to fill in these boxes and be well-rounded, you know. And I looked at mythology class, and I'll be honest with you, I thought, man, this is going to be, you know, Thor and Hercules, and it'd be like comic books. That's what I was thinking. That's how you picked your college classes, wasn't it? Looking for comic book classes. That's what I was looking for. And I got in there, and the guy, boy, he wasn't anything near that. He was all about the myths in the world and like false worship and all of this other stuff. And man, he immediately started going after the Bible. He could speak Greek and Hebrew, and he would say, the Bible's just another myth book. And he would tell a story that's in the Bible, and he'd say, now see, there's another myth over here from this culture, and it's very similar to that story, and that's where the Bible got it. They got it, and that's the way these myth books work. They always just hear a myth from another culture, and they'll start changing a little. And man, he'd just attacking the Bible to the place that one day he said, for example, there was about 80 of us sitting there. He said, how many of you believe creation the way it's in the Bible? Now, I wouldn't say I was sold out, separated, and walking with the Lord. I was still in church and everything. But there was something inside of me, which is the Holy Spirit saying, if you don't raise your hand, I'll rip it off. Now, the Holy Spirit don't talk to you like that because he don't have to. But he knows how to communicate with each of us. I'm just saying, I felt something that I was going to raise my hand. It didn't matter. And sure enough, I raised my hand. I was the only one. Now, I believe there were others in there, because there were some other people a little older than me and stuff. I believe there were several others in there that probably believed the Bible. But he was so intimidating with all those degrees and all that scholarship and all that other stuff that he had. He was very intimidating. But I was just raised by a mama that said, hey, you stand up for God and what we told you is right. And I thank the Lord for that. And I raised my hand, and he looked at me and he said this. He said, well, you're all by yourself. That don't make you wrong. Just makes you alone. And then I felt good. I was like, yeah, boy. You know, you go from being a sorry Christian to all of a sudden you think you're really something. That's the flesh. The flesh is wicked. So one day he says, and I know, I mean, it was just always. So one day he says, and I know some of you think I'm not very spiritual. I was like, can we raise our hand again? He said, but I'll have you know I'm very spiritual. He said, as a matter of fact, he said there. And by the way, let me just time out and say this. He was raised in church. He told that. Now, my mom and daddy don't think like this. What happened was he got educated, see. Yeah. He got so smart, he figured it all out. Knowledge puffeth up is what happened to him. So one day he says, y'all think I'm not spiritual at all. He said, I'll have you know, I'm very spiritual. As a matter of fact, he said, I sit out on my deck sometimes in the evenings. He said, and I can just feel spirits all around me. And I thought, yep, I bet you can. But how many of you know it wasn't a capital S on that spirit? So the devil don't mind if we're spiritual. And he don't mind if we say we've got faith or if we're religious. But I tell you what bothers him, same thing bothers this world, is that name of Jesus. It was no different in the apostles' day. Look at chapter 5. In chapter 5, verse 40, the Bible said here, and to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded them. Look at this. They commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus. Now you notice, it wouldn't have bothered them if the apostles were discussing the law. That wouldn't have bothered them. It wouldn't have bothered them if they were discussing Jehovah God, that Old Testament stuff. That wouldn't have bothered them at all. But they said, look, but this Jesus thing you're throwing around, that's bothering us. That's messing stuff up for us. And so we don't mind if you talk about God. And we don't mind if you want to talk about the scriptures. And we don't mind if you want to talk about your faith. They said, but we cannot have you speaking in the name of Jesus. And it says they let them go. But look at this. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Just one chapter earlier, they've been commanded not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But you know what Peter and John said to them in that one? They said, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. You know what they said? They said, listen, fellas, we ain't trying to be troublemakers. We're not trying to be rebellious. But we just got to tell you, we can't help it. That's what they said. They said, what we've seen and what we've heard and what we feel inside of us, we cannot hold it back. And listen, that's what ought to happen to us after this meeting this week. Hey, we ought to leave this place and not be able to not speak the name of Jesus. Hey, everywhere we go, somebody ought to say, how you doing? We ought to say, blessed by Jesus. That's what we ought to say. Hey, praise the Lord ought to be flying off our lips. It ought to be impossible not to talk about. Listen, the service last night, you should have already been telling somebody about the service last night. Brother Joel records a radio broadcast that he said this morning. He was talking about it on his radio broadcast. You know why? Because we cannot but speak the things that we have seen and heard. Hey, listen, Jesus himself has been in this place and he's been touching and he's been speaking. Now listen, and he's the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords, and I don't deserve him to come to me. I don't deserve him to speak to me or touch me. And when he does, friends, I ought to be out there telling it. We ought to be. We can't help it. We can't help it. They had the old timers, they call it a case of the can't help it. The first time I went to Cuba, we've got a man in our church. He used to be assistant pastor at our church, and now he does a ministry in Cuba, and he goes in and out 4 or 5 times a year, and he has to take the support to those national pastors physically. You can't send it. And he goes in, and we do institutes and different things. And man, it was the first place I ever went. First time I ever left the country, I went to communist Cuba, and that's exciting, praise God. Get off the plane and the machine guns and all that stuff. I thought, glory to God, we are not in Kentucky anymore. Pre-cell phone days. I wasn't no way to call home or nothing. It was wild. But I took my assistant pastor the next year. And so Brother Dale always tells us, he says, now, we would change planes. In those days, you couldn't fly straight to Cuba. So we would change planes in the Bahamas. We'd stay about 8 days there and change planes. No, I'm just kidding. We would. It's hard to get a plane out of there. You just get stuck. But we just change planes. And now, when you're in that... the Bahamas airport, once you go through the customs and everything, you cross over into this room to wait on your flight. Almost everybody there is Cuban. They're going back to Cuba. He said, now listen, when we go over here, when we get over there, we can't be talking about God and stuff anymore. He says, you know, we're sneaking in, you know, we're undercover. And I am the man for quiet and undercover. Hey, man. Brother Mark, me and your wife, we would be so good at stealth operations. So we get in. I'm thinking, all right, we'll talk about sports and we'll talk about whatever, you know. So we get over there. And what I found out is when I'm talking about other stuff, God flies out. I don't know if you know that. That's probably the way some of you are. So we're over there talking about sports, me and my sister pastor. And he said something good about one of the teams or something. And the way I was excited about that, I said, praise the Lord. Brother Dale goes, he just froze up. And I said, I'm sorry. I got it. In just a few minutes, another one flew out. He said, y'all are going to get us arrested. And I thought, man, this is harder than I thought. But you know, let's be honest, it wouldn't be hard for some Christians. And I'm not trying to build myself up, but I'm just telling you, we ought to get to the place that it's hard not to talk about Jesus. Do you know that chorus, Let's Talk About Jesus? Y'all know that one? Let's see if we can sing that. Let's talk about Jesus, the King of Kings is He. Sing it now. Throughout eternity, the great I am, the way. Yeah, man. That ought to be it. Let's talk about Jesus. That ought to be on our hearts as we're leaving this meeting. You ought to just want to, you can't wait. You ought to be thinking right now about who's not here, and you just can't wait to tell them what Jesus has done in this meeting. Do you remember the last time that you were amazed about what Jesus has done? You ought to get there again. He's done some amazing things. And here in Acts, they preached Jesus and they taught Jesus and they changed the world that they lived in with the name of Jesus. Chapter 4, verse 12 says, neither is there salvation any other, for there is none other name give under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And in chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch was seeking the Lord, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah, and the Holy Spirit sent Philip to him. And the Bible says this, it said, then Philip opened his mouth and began the same scripture. And you know what? He didn't preach to him the great prophecies of the book of Isaiah. He didn't preach to him, if you will, some of the deeper things. You know what it says? It said he preached unto him Jesus. Now, I understand the prophecies many of them were about Jesus, but what I'm telling you is he wasn't trying to impress him with his prophetical knowledge. He wasn't trying to impress him with his ability to, you know, break down the scriptures. What he wanted to make sure is that when he got out of that chariot, that boy knew about Jesus, and that he knew that Jesus alone could save him from his sins. And friends, we need to get to that like never before. I appreciate everything that I've seen. Listen, folks, but it's Jesus that'll make a difference. My daddy was a drunk for 25 years, and it wasn't AA, and I'm not against all that stuff, but I'm going to tell you what it was. It was an old revival meeting one night when the Holy Ghost showed up, and Jesus dealt with his heart, and he came down, and nobody hardly prayed with him. He didn't get up and make a big testimony, but I'll tell you what happened. He got changed by the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's been a different man ever since. My children don't even know that old dad of mine. All they know is Peepaw that goes to church every time we're there and plays the mandolin in church and sings in church. You know why? Because Jesus changed him. Now, I thank God for the music, but listen, our musical ability will never change somebody in and of itself. Any preaching ability you might have will never change anybody in and of itself. Facilities and plans and programs are all good, and I'm for them all, but in and of themselves, they cannot change a life. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus changes the lives of the people we come into contact with, and he has been exceptionally good to this crowd, and we ought to leave here with him on our lips. The name of Jesus, the name of Jesus. You say, what should we do with the name of Jesus? Very quickly, we should praise his name. In Psalm 148, verse 13, the Bible says, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. I want you to turn to Hebrews 13, because there might be some of you here and you're just kind of grinning at that old southern preacher that's crazy and he's loud and, you know, but I'm not like that. And boy, aren't you glad we're not all like this? Wouldn't this be a circus, praise God? Sure is right. I say it's good to be saved, and you're supposed to shout, sure. Sure, there you go. I hadn't done that this week, but we do that at our place. You know, you said, well, I'm just not like it. I just do my worship different. And I do understand that everybody can worship different. There are some that are shouters. There are some that are weepers. There are some that just like to raise their hand. Man, we just had a funeral for a lady. Her name's Miss Virginia. And I was visiting the hospital one day. We had like seven people at the hospital, two different ones right beside each other. And I was visiting, and she didn't go to our church, but her daughter does. And I had not even really been told that she was in that hospital. So thankfully, the Lord worked it out. As I was trying to go back to the elevator, I saw the daughter. And boy, she was weeping. And I started talking to them. They just got bad news that day. It didn't look like Miss Virginia was going to last too long. She started talking to her. I sat down there in the waiting room, and she started saying how through the nights that they'd started playing her music, that she's always played the piano and always been a part of music, and the daughter's boyfriend had showed her on his phone he could play music, and said now for the last couple nights, just all night, she liked the old Inspirations. I don't know if you know who they are, a quartet, and she liked them, so he would just play her the Inspirations all night. And her daughter said, she said, preacher, in the middle of the night, she said, listen to that, she'd just wave her hand. She'd just wave her hand and worship. So I went in there and started visiting with her. And there was a period of time several years ago where she got in bad health, and she didn't have much to do, and physically wasn't getting out of the house much. And her daughter was just trying to find something. And she came to us and said, preacher, could she just volunteer in your kitchen at your Christian school just to make her get out of bed and get out of the house and do something? And so we worked it out. The ladies in the kitchen said that'd be fine. And Miss Virginia come in there and worked. And we have Bible class in the cafeteria. The kitchen's right here, right across the counter there is the cafeteria. And Bible class is in there in the mornings while they're fixing lunch and stuff. And used to, I'd go in there a good bit, and I'd play the piano with them some, and I'd sing, and we'd all sing together. And she, when we got in the room, Miss Virginia sitting in the chair there, and you couldn't really tell even if she was very coherent. And we got to talking a little bit, and she looked up at me, and I could tell she was at least awake. And I said, do you know who I am? And she looked for a minute, and she said, yes, yeah, I know who you are. And her daughter said, she said, you're her favorite singer. Well, I didn't even know she'd ever heard me sing. She didn't go to our church. And I said, well, if I'm your favorite singer, she's got problems. And she said something else. And then she asked her mom in front of me. And she said, Mama, tell him what's the favorite song that he sings. And again, I'm not even sure how coherent she is. And I thought, why are you putting her on the spot? And she hesitated. And I said that. I said, well, you've put her on the spot. And then she said it. And she said the song. And I said, well, yeah, I sing that song. And her daughter started testifying about when she was working in the kitchen, and occasionally I'd sing that song, and she'd come home and talk about it. And then when it come on the radio, different things, she'd say, there's my song, but that preacher does it better than that guy, which I liked pretty good. Well, Miss Virginia was struggling with some things, and I just said, well, I said, I didn't really want to say it. I felt impressed by the Lord. I said, would you like for me to sing that song? She goes, yes. I thought, man, I was hoping you'd say no right here in the hospital. So about that time, of course, a nurse comes in, and I'm like, well, let's wait till she gets done. Then we'll shut the door, and I'll sing quietly. The nurse goes out, and I start singing the song. Now, in the visit, a couple times, she was kind of had her head leaned a certain way where she couldn't hold it up good, and she would get to reaching for it, and her daughter would give her a washcloth, and she'd take that washcloth, and she'd wipe her mouth where kind of lean, and she'd get some drool on her mouth. She didn't like that, so she'd grab that washcloth and wipe it off. So when it got time to sing, and we closed the door, and the daughter and the husband were over here, and I started singing to her, and she was getting a blessing. And sure enough, in just a little bit, she started raising that hand and waving it. Man, it was precious. But then I saw her reaching on about that second verse. She was reaching trying to get that washcloth. And I thought, well, she needs to wipe her mouth again. So while I was singing the verse, I reached over and I grabbed that washcloth and put it in her hand. And she wasn't trying to wash her mouth. She grabbed that washcloth and she started just going like that. And she just started praising the name of Jesus. They had a, we call them cottage prayer meeting. They had a little church service in her house. About a week or so after that, she got sent home with hospice and wasn't going to live long. And her church came over there and they said that she was so weak. They'd been married 58 years, her and her husband, said she was so weak in that service she couldn't raise her hand. And so her husband, he kept grabbing her hand and bringing it up and waving it for her. She's praising the name of Jesus. What a testimony to that daughter. All the way to the end, mama's praising the name of Jesus. You say, well, I'm just not like that. I just don't do it like that. Well, there's going to be a problem for you in Hebrews 13:15. I do all my worshiping on the inside. Then you are not fulfilling this command. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. You say, why is it a sacrifice? Because it humbles your flesh a little bit. And it says, offer it to God continually. That is the fruit of our what? Giving thanks to his. Now listen, if you write in your Bible, you know what you need to write up beside that? Audible. External. Verbal. You know what that means? That means you are commanded in this verse sometime to give praise to the name of Jesus that people can hear. It's not good enough just to do it inside. It's not good enough just to do it in private. Now, I'm for that. And by the way, I think you ought to have a spell in private if you have them in public on a regular basis. Amen. It cannot just be so that people hear you. Amen. You say to you, by the grace of God, occasionally. Yes, I can't tell you I'm that spiritual to do it all the time. But I have got some moments I can look back where Jesus just came to me personally in the car. And what a blessing in the car. When you look around and see, I can get a blessing in here by your blessing. In other words, I can watch you getting help and crying, and I can just watch you and it can spill over on me and I can get some help from yours. But when you're in the vehicle or you're in your prayer closet or you're somewhere by yourself and that starts happening, you look around and you realize, wait a minute, this ain't nobody else. He's come for me today. He's come just to me today. And those are the moments that carry you through when you can look and see that God has come and spoke to you personally. And listen, and that ought to create a praise, and you ought to do it in private, but this says it ought to be audible, verbal. Hey, Daddy, have your kids ever verbally heard you give thanks to the name of Jesus? I mean, more than just, Lord, thank you for the food. Amen. No, I'm talking about real thanks. The first time when my dad got right, and I may have told you all this several years ago, I went back after he'd been right with God for about 4 months for Christmas. And we was having Christmas dinner, and the house, I know you ain't going to believe this, but we're loud when we're all together. It's crazy loud. And I was in the kitchen area and a bunch of kids in there. And usually through the years, if Daddy was even sober, when it come time to eat Christmas dinner, they would get everybody quiet. If he was sober, he would usually get my oldest brother, who's a pastor, to pray. He'd say, Tim, pray for us. Or Terry, he's a preacher as well. Pray for us. And that day they quietened everybody down and I heard them. So I started quieting all the kids down. Y'all be quiet. They're going to pray. Y'all be quiet. They're going to pray. And all of a sudden we're just, you know, we're sitting in the living room. We can hear them in the kitchen. They're getting ready to pray. And I start hearing this voice pray. And it wasn't Tim, and it wasn't Terry. And it was my dad. And he wasn't just, thank you for the food. He started, Father. And he just started saying, it's so good for our family to be here. And he just started praying. And I remembered that all them years I lived at home, he never did that. And I had prayed for all them years. And that was when it kind of hit me that God had answered that prayer. You say, what was it? I heard my daddy giving thanks to God. Maybe for my first time. I'd heard him sing before, but I don't know that I'd ever heard him pray out loud like that before. Hey, Daddy, what a shame. I was a grown man. I had kids of my own. Surely there have been places, and if not, maybe this night at the end or now or whenever, where you just get your family down around an altar. And listen, I don't pray out loud a lot. When I pray by myself, it's not out loud. When I pray in a crowd, I don't pray out loud unless I've been asked to lead in prayer. It's funny, Brother Andrew. I used to always pray. I just pray quiet. I guess it's like you're loud all the time when you're praying. Why don't you shut up and be quiet? So I pray quiet, but then I'd come to prayer meeting on Saturday night like we do at our church, and I'd pray out loud with all them other guys there. And it's like the Holy Spirit said one night, said, why do you pray out loud when you're here with them? He said, who are you wanting to hear you? Now, if you pray out loud all the time, then that's fine. I'm just telling you, for me, I would pray quiet all by myself. But when I got in there with them preacher boys, I'd pray out loud. Now, I know sometimes I pray out loud on purpose because I'm praying for somebody and I want it to encourage them and help them. But I'm talking about I was in my spot, they were in their spot, but I was praying out loud. And God said, who are you trying to get to hear you? Because you don't pray like that when it's just me and you. And I said, you're right. But you know what? There have been times when I've grabbed my family and said, come here. Been in services like we were in last night. And what a blessing to see families last night. Man, what a blessing. See daddies last night grab their children and their wife and get down and kind of have their arms around them. And daddy, there ought to be memories in their mind where they have seen you do that and they've heard your voice say, Lord Jesus, you've been so good to us. Oh, Lord Jesus, everything we've got's because of you. And I want to praise your name. Hey, your children, mamas, your children ought to have heard your voice. Hey, when we sing in church, it's an opportunity to praise his name. Get in. And this church don't need to be told that. It's amazing singing here tonight. But every church has got some that just kind of stand there and go through the motions. Hey, we're giving you a chance to fulfill this command right here that we ought to be praising the name of Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Help me now. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, yeah, sing it. From your heart. Because he first loved. Let's sing that verse. There is a name. There is a name I loved. I love to sing. Love to sing its worth, its sound. Oh, yes. Sing it. On. Sing your harmony parts now. Oh, yeah, praise his name. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. We need to praise his name and people need to hear it. Bless his holy name. Brother Rogers, would you go ahead and come to the piano and be thinking maybe a song y'all could sing for me here in the invitation? You can just go ahead and start playing when you get here. I want to say very quickly here as I close, we need to praise his name. We need to proclaim his name. I mean, we don't only need to praise it. We need to be proclaiming his name to the world. That's what they were doing in the book of Acts. They were running out telling them what Jesus had done, what they had seen Jesus do, and what they had heard Jesus say, and how Jesus had touched and changed their life, and it turned their world upside down. Sometimes we're scared to even talk about Jesus to this world. Let's be honest. Man, I got under conviction about a year or so ago at our mission conference. Brother Burton Gates started a church in Philadelphia, and we've supported him for years. And he got saved about 14 years ago. He was a bouncer, a drug addict, just deep in sin. And he just switched teams. He was wound up for the devil, then he is wound up for the Lord. And he's got some things he does. When he flies, every flight that he flies on, when he lands, and they give that little ding, and everybody can stand up, he's had the Lord convicted him. And so every time, when it dings, he stands up and starts testifying about the Lord on the plane. Now you talk about that's intense, because they don't play around on planes. They'll shoot you, throw you in jail, they'll do all kinds of stuff. But man, he said, I just tell them anytime I'm witness, I just say, hey, 13 years ago, Jesus changed my whole life. Well, see, I got saved when I was 7, but my life didn't really change at 7. But when I was 21, I gave my whole life to God. Now, I wasn't out. I'd been in church that whole time. But we got in a revival, Brother Joel, when I'd never heard the preacher preach like he did that week. I'd never heard a guy say, you got to give your whole life to God, much like what you were telling these young people last night. And man, that week I just wanted it. It was so good. I just come down. I said, Lord, whatever, I want what that preacher said. He said I could trust you. He said you had a good plan. And even if you change, he changed all my plans, by the way. But the preacher was right. You can trust him. And I gave him my whole life. And you know what he did? He changed my whole life. So I started thinking, wait, I can say that. I can say 20, at that time it was 23, 24 years ago. And so I got under conviction that I give out a good number of tracts, but I usually just say, let me give you something, or let me give you something to tell you about the Lord, or, you know, let me give you a gospel track. And I thought, I got to do better, man. I got to do better. I need to tell them who it is. And so I started saying, hey, can I give you something? And they'll say, what is that? I'll say, it's a gospel track. And I say, 24 years ago, Jesus changed my whole life. And I just like to tell people about it. And that makes some of them nervous. No thanks. It's all right. But I want to proclaim his name. And I can do it from a pulpit. But listen, I got flesh like everybody else. And man, out there, I get scared. And I pray and I repent of my lack of boldness. But listen, I should never be ashamed to say this name. Every good thing. And I've had a lot of good things. And every one of them is because the name of Jesus came to our house. Every good thing. A little boy named Billy went to camp. He was junior high age, and I know I've preached 42 minutes. Billy had cerebral palsy. Couldn't walk very good. Drug his leg and stuttered really bad. Junior high age kids can be ruthless sometimes, and all week they'd mock Billy. Boys would drag their leg, and they would speak with a stutter and imitate him. And at that camp, the way it worked was each cabin had to pick somebody for a particular night to do the camp devotion. Turned out that Billy's cabin was for Friday night. The boys in the cabin thought it'd be funny if they picked Billy to do the devotion because he couldn't hardly talk. The counselor had enough sense to know that they were setting him up to make fun of him. So the counselor comes to Billy and says, Billy, you don't have to do it. We'll get somebody else. Billy tells the counselor, no, I want to do it. Comes Friday night. They say it's time for the devotion. Billy comes up dragging that leg. Took him a long time to get up there. The story says, the guy that wrote the story says that Billy said 7 words, but it took him 5 minutes to say 7 words. He'd get the word I out. Love, and he'd get the next word. It took him 5 minutes to say 7 words, but his 7 words were, I love Jesus and Jesus loves me. The guy writing the story, he was a preacher at that camp. He said that by the time Billy got done saying those 7 words, the Spirit of the Lord fell in that place. And it said those kids just started weeping and coming to the altar and getting right with God. And he said at the point of writing the book, it had been well over 20 years. And he said, it doesn't seem to matter where I go in the country. It seems like everywhere I go and preach in the country, somebody walks up and they'll say, do you remember me? And he'll say, I'm sorry. I've preached a lot of places. I don't remember everybody. And he said over and over, he hears this. I got right at camp the night Billy spoke. I got right at camp. You know why? Because Billy was not ashamed to proclaim the name of Jesus. And it has the power. We need to praise his name, proclaim his name. We need to present his name. He said, isn't that what you just said? No, no, no. Proclaim is, we do it verbal. Present is with our life. Is that we try to live in such a way that somebody would be pointed to Jesus. In Acts 11:26, it said the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. After being there a period of time, those people started saying, you know, they act like that Christ guy. And I think it was supposed to be in mockery at first, but it should not be in mockery to us. It should be an honor for somebody to say, are you a Christian? By maybe something we've said, or perhaps how we look, or that we prayed over our food, or whatever the case may be. We need to present Jesus, the name of Jesus, with our life. Oh, Joel was a drunk, and he came stumbling up to one of those missions and stumbled in, and they took him in and they fed him, and then they put him in a service. That was the rule. And Joe got saved. And they said he got saved, man. Joe got changed and he gave up drinking. He got cleaned up and he got a burden for them other drunks. And so he just stayed around the mission. And they said he would do anything. So there was no job too little or too nasty. Said he would, they would be them old drunks passed out and have thrown up on themselves and everything else. They said Joe would go get them. He'd clean them up. He'd bring them in, get them food, get them in the bed. And said then in those services, he'd sit beside them and just try to get them to Jesus over and over. Said Joe was a changed man. One night the preacher was preaching in that same mission and another old drunk was down there and he could hear him pray. praying. And the drunk was saying, Lord, make me like Joe. Make me like Joe. It kind of bothered the preacher. He thought, man, that ain't the right prayer. And so he stopped that guy and he said, son, don't you think you should be saying, make me like Jesus? And that old drunk in his innocence looked up and he said, is he like Joe? And you know, the answer is yes. That old boy had seen Jesus in Joe's life. He presented Jesus with his life. And I want people to be drawn to the name of Jesus by my life. Last of all, we need to prove his name. See, what do you mean, preacher? I mean by finishing. Every time a Christian quits, it looks like Jesus wasn't enough. Every time one of us gives up, or we give in to temptation, or we just give out and say, I can't do it anymore. Every time, it tells the world that our Jesus wasn't enough like we said he was. And friends, he is enough. He's enough. His grace is sufficient. And I want to finish well so that people will know Jesus can get you through. Last story. Ralph Sexton Sr. is a great preacher of days gone by. His wife, somebody found her Bible sitting on a pew one night, and they really probably shouldn't have done it, but they was just interested in that old saint's Bible. Started flipping through it. They kept seeing the letters TP out beside these verses all through her Bible. They kept trying to figure it out. Was it somebody's initials, a preacher, or what was it? They couldn't ever figure it out. So finally they asked her. They said, sister, I hate to even admit this, but I was looking through your Bible. And said, all through your Bible, beside these verses, there are letters, TP. She said, what does that mean? And she said, oh, honey. She said, that means tried and proven. She said, all through my life, when something would happen or something would come up, and she said, and I didn't know what we was going to do, she said, I'd find these promises in the Word of God. And she said, what I found out every time is he's tried and proven. And that's what the world needs to see from some of you young people. They need to see that Jesus is good enough for young people in 2018. And that you can do it. That you can grow up in church. And that you can live for God through your teenage years. And then you can live for God through your early 20s. And you can just stay with God all the way to the end. And show this world that it doesn't matter how crazy it gets out there. How wicked it gets. That the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is still sufficient. And he can get us through. And I want to finish. And finish clean. And finish with joy. I want people to look at my life and say, that boy's crazy. And he's country. And he didn't have this figured out. He didn't have that figured out. But I want them to say this. But Jesus was with him. I don't really care about any of what they say before that. I just don't. You can tell I don't really care what people think. As long as at the end of it, they'll say, but Jesus was with him. The Bible says about four men, and the Lord was with him. I want that testimony. Would you stand with me? The name of Jesus, we must praise it. Y'all go ahead and come if you would. We need to proclaim it. We need to present it with our lives. And we need to prove it. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't give out. Don't give in. Jesus is enough. Father, thank you for Jesus. I'm sorry for the times I get used to it. I'm sorry for the times that I get spoiled to the presence of Jesus and the goodness of the Lord Jesus in my life. I apologize for the times I open your word and read about Jesus and I'm not moved because I've read it so many times. But tonight I am. Lord, this week you've been so good. My heart is stirred. And I want to do these things. I want to praise you. I want my kids to hear it. Not just at the pulpit, Lord. I want them to hear me praise you at home. I want them to hear me praise you at different times and places. And I want to, Lord, proclaim it to the lost world and let them know that Jesus has the answers. I want to present it with my life. Live in such a way that somebody might be brought to Jesus. And then, Lord, I want to prove it. Whatever trials may come, God, help me not quit. Whatever temptations may come, help me not give in to them, Father. Whatever may develop, I pray, that I would finish well, finish clean, finish with joy, so that Jesus might be glorified. We heard last night, Lord, that there's coming a day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that the name of Jesus, to the name of Jesus. Lord, I want to go ahead and do that and do it well in this life. Help us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all sing. Bless His holy name.
When I woke up this morning, Your presence filled the room.
And Jesus has been good
with
to us.
With a grateful heart, I just shook my head.
He's a good God.
As I bowed in awe of You.
Good for Him.
Lord, You have been so faithful.
Oh, yeah.
So loving, kind, and true. And every morning,
hallelujah,
Your mercies are new.
Have been good. You have been good. More than I could ever dream You would. You have been good. You have been good. Immeasurably more than You should. You
my heart is overwhelmed by what You've done for me, and my mind cannot grasp the depths of Your generosity. The riches of Your mercy, the wonders of Your grace, and my voice cries out in endless praise.
You have been good.
Holds or what tomorrow brings. You are sovereign God of the universe. You are Lord of everything.
You are still good. You are still good. More than I could ever dream You would. You have been good. You have been good. Immeasurably more than You should. You have been good.
When I woke up this morning, Your presence filled the room. With a grateful heart, I just shook my head as I bowed in awe of You. Lord, You have been so faithful, so loving, kind, and true. And every morning, Your mercies are new.
You have been good.
Have been good, more than I could ever dream You would.
You have been good.
You have been good. Immeasurably more than You should. You have been good. Today my heart is overwhelmed by what You've done for me, and my mind can't cannot grasp the depths of your generosity. The riches of your mercy, the wonders of your grace, and my voice cries out in endless praise.
You have been good. You have been good. More than I could ever dream you would. You have been good.
Holds or what tomorrow brings. You are sovereign God of the universe. You are Lord of everything.
You are still good. You are still good. More than I could ever dream you would. Been good. You have been good, immeasurably more than you should. You have been good.
Been through some testing and trials, felt like a detour that went on for miles. But standing here now, looking back, I can say, Lord, I'm thankful. Some storms I thought I would never survive. Here I am feeling so strong and alive. The darkness is past and the morning is bright, and I'm thankful. I'm thankful like David after Goliath, like Paul and Silas after the jail. I'm thankful like Daniel after the lions. Lord, I'm thankful. Thankful like Noah back on dry ground. Thankful like Lazarus finally unwound every beat of my heart wants to pound. I'm thankful, Lord, I'm thankful. I've battled giants of failure and fear, shadows of doubt where my hope was unclear. But all along, Lord, you were hovering near, and I'm thankful. All the sins of my past were a thundering roar that echoed the guilt that I could not ignore. But it's nailed to the cross, and I hear it no more, and I'm thankful.
I'm thankful like David after like Paul and Silas after the jail. I'm thankful like Daniel after the lions. Lord, I'm thankful. Thankful like Noah back on dry ground. Thankful like Lazarus finally unwound. Every beat of my heart wants a pound. I'm thankful. After the lions, Lord, I'm thankful. Thankful like Noah back on dry ground. Thankful like Lazarus finally unwound. Every beat of my heart wants to pound. I'm thankful, Lord, I'm thankful. I'm thankful
shadows of doubt where my hope was unclear. But all along, Lord, you were hovering near, and I'm thankful. All the sins of my past were a thundering roar that echoed the guilt that I could not ignore. But it's nailed to the cross, and I hear it no more, and I'm thankful.
I'm thankful like David after Goliath, like Paul and Silas after the jail. I'm thankful like Daniel after the lions. Lord, I'm thankful. Thankful like Noah back on dry ground. Thankful like Lazarus finally unwound. Every beat of my heart wants to pound. I'm thankful, Lord.
At your prayer. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so. sing it again. Oh, how I love. Oh, how I love.